This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, Carm here, and welcome to the 203rd episode of the Town Hall Academy. And happy holidays to everyone. Hey, a lot has happened as we draw to a close a year considered to be one of the most challenging years in our history. Hey, today our topic is about the changes and the challenges that COVID-19 swept on the aftermarket industry, along with every shop owner and team member. Now, did you push through? How did you cope? What changed and what changed for you permanently? Now, these are some questions to reflect on as 2021 is on our doorstep. Now, reflect back on your preparedness to face this unprecedented call to action. Now, joining me for this frank discussion is Jim Hayes, General Manager of Pacific Motor Service, and Dave Martin from Martin's Auto Repair, Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, I'm grateful to Shop Marketing Pros and Shopware for sponsoring the Academy. You know, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Shopware's shop management system allows customers to review, approve, and pay for repairs all in one place. Keep your staff and your customers safe while maintaining profits and keeping your customers happy. Learn more at GetShopware.com. Hey, have you realized that your marketing looks exactly the same as the shop down the road? Well, your shop is different. You know that, and it deserves marketing that is as unique as your shop is. Let Shop Marketing Pros show your community just how different you are. On the web at ShopMarketingPros.com. Hey, this episode's key talking points are already done for you on the show notes page at remarkableresults.biz/A203. The notes, hey, they'll make for a great roundtable discussion with your team. Have you seen the latest virtual shop tour? Well, get them all on aftermarketweekly.com. And the show was just released as a podcast, so you can hear my guest host and the virtual tour audibly via your favorite listening app or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you're looking for a great read, all the books that are ever mentioned on the podcast are collected on the website's books page. See what your peers are reading. Who's here with me? Jim Hayes, General Manager of Pacific Motor Service. Owner Kevin O'Donohue out there in Monterey, right?
That's correct. Monterey. And Pacific Grove, Central California.
Yeah. Love your company. You've been on previously. Thank you so much, Jim. And Dave Martin's with me, owner of Martin's Auto Repair in Phoenix, where it's 70.
Good morning, Carm.
And I don't mean how old you are. It's 70 degrees out. Hey, Jim, you told me that you needed to update California and OSHA protocols. What was that all about?
OSHA is always involved. Cal OSHA is even more involved. So you've got the national and the local California, if you will. So there's constant updates with what we have to do, different law changes, regulation changes. So it's a kind of a constant review and update of the procedures and the protocols that we go through. So Dave mentioned that he's wearing masks or social distancing, et cetera. In California, our leadership, our ruling class has actually stated that any contraction of the disease will be assumed to have happened at work. Really, the push is to keep people home. So they're kind of de-incentivizing going to work, and the employers now have the burden to support or to take care of the worker if it's contracted. So that's the assumption. So it's really important that we maintain a protocol that's written and communicated, and it has to be updated probably every week or two.
Well, so, that's so interesting. I don't know about you, Dave, but that sounds really heavy-duty big government. And, we want them to protect us. But if you contract COVID, it's blamed on the business, even if you were out at Walmart?
That's what I'm saying. The assumption will be that it happened at work. So it becomes a work comp claim. Oh, wow. And there's an extended sick leave, I guess you could say, and from 24 hours a year is what the regulation is now, to 2 weeks through December 31st. And then it becomes a work comp claim as well.
So interesting. Well, I appreciate you sharing that whole California thing. Yeah. What did you do inside the business? I know you guys have a hell of a clientele out there, and I know you guys do concierge service. Did you did you go out and get cars?
We've done that. You know, there's a disinfecting process that we go through when cars are brought into us. Of course, our waiting room is closed. So we disinfect the vehicle on the way in, on check-in, so that we can protect ourselves. And on the way out, we disinfect the car so that we can protect the client. On top of that, we've got a large population, and I don't know that it's any older than any other population, but there's a large population that did stay home, and our lockdowns are a little bit tighter in California than they are probably in the rest of the United States. So the concierge program has been something that's been super helpful, more in our Pacific Grove location than our Monterey location, because there's less commuting from Pacific Grove. It's more people that live there, and it's a closer knit community versus Monterey, where there's a lot of commuters that come in. So our clientele here are further out.
Is disinfecting going to stick around? Dave, are you guys going to keep doing it?
Yeah, I think we will. You know, one of the things that we did back, you know, April is when we really got kind of hit with this thing. My shop is typically, most of my customers worked in my area, didn't really live in my area. When a lot of people shut down their businesses and told people to start working from home, that affected us in April. And then we had to kind of regroup and kind of figure out another way around this. A couple of things we did to keep my team safe was we went ahead and put a table out in front of my shop, and we kept people from coming in the office. We also shut down our waiting room too, just to make sure that we didn't have any contamination in the office or any kind of contamination in the waiting room. We wanted to keep everybody out of those areas. And then with the cars, we just went ahead and developed a process to go ahead and make sure that we sanitized the vehicles, cleaned them, make sure the keys were clean when we handed them back to the customer. We were cleaning before, and we were wiping down everything before. We weren't as concerned about the sanitation and the virus back when we were doing it in the past. We just didn't want greasy fingerprints, and we didn't want dirt on the customer's car. So it was more about cleaning the vehicle and making sure that it was clean when the customer got it back. But now we kind of upped it to where we want to make sure that we were disinfecting the vehicle too, so nobody gets sick.
One of the thoughts that I have about post-COVID, and there will be a post-COVID, yes?
Yeah, I hope so.
Well, one way or another.
Okay. Well, my point is I want to get less colds after COVID.
Sure.
I do. And I know how I get them. You know, no matter where it is I go, I get two a year because I travel and, you know, I'm out in the public all the time with the studio and speaking, and I always get two colds. I haven't had a cold in a year.
I don't know what the statistics are about other flus and cold viruses, but I can imagine that the world's been no cleaner than it is now ever. So
yes, that's my point. My point is here it is. We're post-COVID. And say it's sometime next fall where we could always look back and say, in the whole U.S., there's three cases a year, meaning we beat it, okay? Three cases a day. And we continue to tell our customers, hey, look it, we figured this out. We know we're going to give less flu. We know we're going to give less colds because we're going to continue to stay clean. We think it's a great new way to do business, and we're going to keep doing the things to your car, because how much time do you spend in your car? Now, they always say that your car sits like, 90% of the time, because you're just using it to commute to places. But when you're in there and you don't ever clean the inside of your car and you had yourself the cold or the flu, someone else gets in it, you spread it. I think post-COVID and what we learned is that we're going to be a cleaner, healthier. Think about your own people and not losing time at work because of flu or cold.
Well, I'm no doctor, but you also don't want to risk the immune system of weakening either. So there's you don't want to go to an excess. If you keep everything completely sanitary, your immune system's not going to be able to fight anything off either. So there's a balance, obviously.
That's a great point.
There's things that happen in kids at school. They're involved in playing and touching and doing their thing that actually creates a strengthened immune system. So if you continually clean and sanitize everything, that may be detrimental in the long run too. So there's got to be a balance.
Got it. Marketing, guys, what did you change regarding marketing your clients, and will any of that strategy continue to help?
The big thing that we did was just letting customers know that it's safe to come into the shop. That was the big thing. The fear of people bringing their car in was a lot greater than ever before. So we had to let them know that these are the things that we're doing to make sure that we keep you safe. We also had to let them know we're going to make it as convenient as possible. And we also had to let them know that even though you're not driving your vehicle like you were before, the vehicle's sitting. So it's important for you to at least make sure that vehicle's maintained even through that period. So we also marketed towards, we wanted our customers to bring the vehicle in so we could just do an inspection just to make sure that nothing was going awry while the car was sitting.
Hey, Carm here, and Jim Hayes explains why we study and learn about leadership. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Shopware's shop management system allows customers to review, approve, and pay for repairs all in one place. Now, one, your customer views their outstanding balance. Number two, they are prompted to submit payment directly through their invoice. And three, Shopware's secure portal facilitates payments right there without having to open another browser or remember another password. It's really that simple. Shopware is your complete solution for contactless service. Let remote pay work for you and improve your customer experience. Get started today. Visit GetShopware.com for more information and to request a demo. Hey, Carm here. Have you heard this before? If you need something, we're just a phone call away. But then when you need something and you make that phone call, nothing. Well, if you needed something from your marketing company right now, today, could you get their help? Or now that they've got your money, has the personalized attention just faded away? Well, we've all experienced something like this. If you want that to go away, I want to introduce you to my friends over at Shop Marketing Pros. Shop Marketing Pros is a boutique marketing company. Now, what that means is they're small. It also means that they know their clients because they communicate with them regularly. If you're tired of working with a big transactional agency who treats you just like another auto repair shop, well, it's time to talk to the folks over at Shop Marketing Pros. They are a real phone call away. Find them on the web at shopmarketingpros.com. Jim, what did you guys do from a marketing perspective?
Over the last few years, we've gone from an expansive kind of marketing program, marketing 15, 20 miles out from our nucleus or our neighborhood here. I've really constricted that over the last 6 months or to a year, and I'm really targeting neighborhoods a mile and a half to 2 miles away from our shops. There's plenty of people there. If we can capture 50%, not even 50%, a small percentage of the neighborhood, literally, of 10 or 15 blocks from our shops, there should be enough there to hold us through this period. And in the long run, that's where we should have started probably anyway. So that's been my major change, is really focusing on who's a mile away or half a mile away versus who's 5 or 6 miles away, smaller.
Did your messaging have to change? And if it did, what did you learn from it?
Messaging hasn't changed, other than what David mentioned as far as sanitization and making sure that we're following the protocols and they're safe here, and that our main focus is to keep everyone safe from the virus and help them maintain their vehicles, like Dave also mentioned. Just because the car's not being driven doesn't mean it doesn't have needs. In some cases, if it's a protracted time frame that it's sitting, it may be even detrimental to the system as well. So we want to keep the cars moving once in a while. And if we need to go pick them up, we have the manpower and the clientele tend to be close enough to where it only takes a few minutes to do that. So that's been a push. I also was able to take the opportunity with a weekly update to our database via email, and I would kind of encourage and reinforce what we're doing to keep it safe, that we're actually open. And I would share on a weekly basis, I'd share one of our values and kind of describe that. So I'd write a 500-word essay or a 1,000-word essay, until at some point it just got a little bit too repetitive. But for the first 10 or 15 weeks, I did that. And that we had some pretty good feedback on that as well.
Great opportunity to tell customers all the things that you want to do, what you do for them, what you do for yourselves, as far as to build the right culture in your business. Downtime, guys, there was a lot of downtime. I'm sure you used PPP to help you out.
That was helpful. It kept the confidence in our business alive. Our employee base, our teammates didn't have to worry about whether or not we were going to be here in 6 months. So that was helpful. I'd say our business probably maintained 75% of budget. So it wasn't catastrophic, but it certainly wasn't pleasant. But the PPP played a big part in confidence, let's say.
And I would agree with that, what Jim just said. One of the things that really helped us out was, I mean, we had some really cruddy paychecks there. And when we got the PPP money, I was able to help my people out. Some of the money and some of the resources that they lost, we were able to replenish those. And it made all the guys knew that, hey, we're all in this together and we're all going to work together to get through it. And that PPP money did just helped with them and their families. And it took a lot of that burden and a lot of that stress off of them.
Meeting with the team, I'm sure you guys, successful businesses, you've always spent time with your team. How did it go? Was there any changes in how you approached running the business?
With my team, no, not necessarily, because we always did weekly meetings. The only thing, I think one thing that did change was our communication had to be that much better. We definitely had to make sure we were all communicating, making sure we were on the same page. And then when we did have some downtime, one of the things that we did was is we started doing facility maintenance, some things that we've been wanting to do for a long time around here. And we were able to knock those out. It kept everybody's mind going and kept everybody from thinking about too many bad things and kept them thinking positive. And so I think that was a big plus for us. We got an opportunity to fix some things and maintain some things that we needed to do.
I agree with that. We did the same thing with the downtime. We reduced hours very slightly, but there was enough downtime to where we could get the buildings back where they should be. As far as communication goes with the staff, we're pretty frequently meeting and talking about policies and procedures, and we do have a technician training meeting every week anyway. So we took the opportunity to kind of get really transparent and really granular in what this meant for the business and the changes that needed to happen, and the fact that we were going to stay alive and nothing was going to change. However, it was critical that we all understand where we stood. So the transparency of the future, the present, and the current relationship with us and the business trends was helpful for our staff, I think, to understand. Again, going back to the PPP, it's more a confidence builder than an education system. Everybody kind of knows what's going on, but the confidence of the communication helps.
I want to know, David, did you guys have a sequel? I think that's what you called it, right, Jim? Meaning that there was a lockdown, then it opened up. Because where I live, it's locked down again, and I know where Jim is locked down again. David, are you guys locked down again?
No, we're not. You know, I was worried about 2 weeks ago that the governor was going to come out and he was going to lock us down again because the numbers started climbing, but he has not done anything. We're in limited capacity still as far as restaurants and gyms and things like that, but for the most part, no, we're wide open and everything is going here pretty much the same. So we didn't have that second wave, which really, I know it hurt a lot of other people, but we have not had that yet, and hopefully we won't.
You've had the second wave, Jim.
We have the second wave, and while we're open because we're essential, there's a lot of small businesses in the area, particularly the restaurant industry, which is huge in the Central Coast here in Monterey. So a lot of the companies barely held on through the first wave. And they were teetering, and now the second wave is going to threaten hundreds of more small businesses closing because there's not an additional PPP yet. And I'm not necessarily big on receiving money from the government, but if it's a mandated shutdown, I guess it makes more sense. Right now, the town is, and I'm speculating here because I don't have all the statistics, but the town's fighting to stay open as much as they can. There's a lot of dissenters, if you will. However, the cost of a shutdown the second time around is going to be way bigger than the first. So it may trickle up to us as well, even though we're open. Less money, less freedom, less opportunity.
Well, and I think, too, another thing is that with the PPP money you were, Jim had kind of alluded to a little bit about, is a lot of people with the PPP money, it did help a lot of people. But if you had bad business practices before and you got the PPP money, this is only going to extend it for a short amount of time before you're going to be in trouble again. So the businesses that are kind of changing and repositioning themselves are going to probably be okay. But the ones that aren't, they might be in trouble.
There's a book called Black Swan you've probably heard about by Nicholas Taleb. He's an economist that kind of frames the eventuality of a catastrophic event, regardless of what it might be. It's predictable that there will be an event. It's just not clear what sort of event. So that's kind of my personality, is to be a little bit productively paranoid. So we were prepared for this. And then, like Dave said, if you were ready for something and your business practices were able to be healthy enough to support something like this, PPP then allowed us to add value to the clients and to the community. If that's what you relied upon to survive, then in the long term, it's probably not going to help.
You basically said, David, what I'm calling proof of concept. And we're doing a Town Hall Academy in about 2 to 3 weeks on that whole entire subject. And that is that it was almost like the strong had an opportunity to get stronger because they were already doing the things that the industry has been preaching about. And you may say that all the technology and all the software and all those tools our salespeople saying, you got to do this, you got to do this. But frankly, they were the right things to do. So the people that weren't adapting to cloud this and DVI that and text to pay here and all that stuff, good cultures, strong training programs, found themselves way behind an eight ball. So we're gonna actually bring a couple of shop owners on that it was a big impact to them because they were already in where you needed to be. It's a great point that you brought up, David. And I recently heard, I think it was the CEO of Nike said, and that was his quote, opportunity for the strong to get stronger.
I was maybe not so secretly hoping, this maybe isn't politically correct, that the PPP program wouldn't come to fruition. Because I know there's a lot of people out there that are kind of commoditizing the industry, a race to the bottom as far as price. So I knew if the PPP didn't come through, a lot of those, I don't want to use the term bottom feeder, what's a better term? Those with less sophisticated business practices would probably fall along the way, as maybe they should. So some of the competition might have been culled had we not gotten this PPP, which in one sense of the word would have been a good thing for those of us who practice good business ethics, let's say.
I hear and I feel your pain. I have noticed, though, and I think what's going to happen big in 2021, this is just my prediction. I am not Karnak at all in any way, but I think there's going to be a lot more opportunities to buy a business today. Either get the location that you want, turn it around, make it right, or for an owner to finally say, I need to have a succession plan because this was a really tough year. And there's things that I have to do that I'm not going to invest in doing. To your point, Jim, David, that I just don't want to spend the money. Maybe it's time for me to just find a successor, internal or external candidate. And I think the stronger businesses that are prepared and are ready and are strong, who say, I think I'm going to do this second or third branch, I think there's going to be huge, huge opportunities in 2021 because of how tough 2020 was for a certain percentage of our industry. And to your point about the lower end of tier of our industry, that I could beat a price and talk bad about it. That's the major crime in our industry is how we football that stuff around for all the wrong reasons. But it's a hobby to them, and it's not a real business. And you can't compete with a hobbyist. You can't.
I was hoping actually to not capitalize on opening additional properties, but to capitalize on the human capital that would have been out there had some of these places struggled without the PPP, because they would have had to let people go. We were looking for some good staff. I was hoping to capitalize on that and then maybe some equipment for pennies on the dollar. That's going to be our focus for 2021, is to see what becomes available as far as that's concerned.
Well, we were at a big shortage before, so and it's still tough to find good people. There's no doubt about it. And like Jim said, I agree with him. If we could find good quality people to work in our industry, it would just make the industry that much better.
A question. Did you run a better business because of COVID, and why?
I'll be perfectly honest with you. 2008 was a big change for me because it was the first time that I'd ever experienced in my business career a big downturn in the economy. So I made a boatload of changes back then just to, we had to cut costs, business dropped off, you know, the economy was in shambles. And it was a big lesson for me then. And when this thing came along, I just expanded upon that. And I just went back to the basics, you know, as far as changing what we do. We didn't change a whole heck of a lot because we did so much changing back in 08 that I just went back to the fundamentals and back to basics. And of course, with the COVID, we just had to do it a little bit differently because of the virus versus we didn't have the virus in 08.
I was smart enough and I toughed it out enough in 2008. You had that attitude, bring it on, because you did that back then. And I guess people that didn't felt that pain. Better business and why, Jim?
Better business is always the push on a daily basis for us. Our culture is, I think, to evaluate and improve and then reevaluate and continue to improve. So this was just another day in the life of that process. It was not pleasant right? It's never pleasant when stuff like this happens. But as far as business practices go, our concept is really to evaluate constantly and to improve. So it was just another day and another step and another adjustment that would have had to take place in another way. Anyway, so I don't think that our business practice per se, other than the policies and procedures slightly, changed and developed. But as far as that goes, I'm definitely down for a bit of a tumultuous time now and then.
Ah, so bring on the challenge is what you're saying.
Bring it on. I've got a military background, so I'm a bit of a, I don't know, adrenaline junkie is not the right word, but I like attrition. I think it's healthy. I think struggle makes people stronger. I think culling the herd is not a bad thing. So I think that through trials and tribulations, we become stronger, and those that don't become stronger fall along the wayside, which is probably okay. And I just have to make sure that me and my team and the people around me are strong enough and healthy enough and prepared enough and practice the right things so that that doesn't happen to us. And if it happens to us, then you know what? We probably weren't good enough.
Did you guys lose any clients?
I don't know. You know, it's only been 6 or 8 months. This is a relatively short time in the big picture, you know. So I don't anticipate that we did. We lose clients all the time because of the mass exodus from California anyway. There's always that turnover. But I don't think we've lost anybody from this. Other than, are you talking about from health perspective or from
they want to stay away. They weren't sure of the safety of taking their car to get repaired. And I know you guys didn't do anything to deserve that, but was there a segment of the clientele out there that are just so afraid? I happen to know some people, they just don't want to go in public, period.
What I saw with my clients was the people that were at high risk definitely did not go out. And it didn't matter my business, any business, they weren't going out, period. And the other thing that we noticed is that some of our clients, you know, they were younger people in their 20s and they ended up moving back home because they lost their job. So they ended up, you know, moving out of state back to their parent where their parents lived. So we did lose some through that. But for the most part, I would have to say making sure that you stay in constant contact with your customers, doing the follow-ups and doing the things that let your customers know that you're still around and keeping that communication open, I think is where that really helped us a lot too, because people said, hey, I'm not driving, or I got elderly family members that are living with me and I don't want to be around anybody, so I'm not driving, I'm not going anywhere. So that communication was really good for us. But I think for the most part, no. I mean, we do lose customers like Jim had said, I think we all do to a certain degree because of moving, because of, you know, things that happen in their lives that change. Maybe they get rid of the car. But other than that, not really anything's different.
It's a temporary loss, I think. I think people will stop coming for a while, but they haven't left us as a company.
Mary Ann Croce, great friend, business coach, shop owner. Gentlemen, how was your leadership challenged in 2020?
There for a while, it was kind of uncertain of what was going to happen. We didn't even know if they were going to shut us down. So the guys were, the morale kind of got a little bit down in April, and I had to kind of step it up a little bit and let them know that, hey, everything's going to be okay, and we're going to get through this. We're a long-standing business, and we've been around for a long time, and we're prepared for this. We just need to work every day the best we can and do the things that we need to do to keep the business going. And we'll be fine. I just had to let them know that, hey, we're going to be fine. And so, yeah, you had to step up and be more of a leader than the everyday challenges that you have on a regular basis.
Same with you, Jim?
No, not the same. I think this is why we study leadership, isn't it? I think this is the opportunity to show what we've studied and practiced. I think this is the only reason why we do it. So I was excited when it came down because it was going to be an opportunity for our staff to kind of be leaders with each other. For the leadership to do what we do. And now all the preparation, those of you who've watched our podcast with me on them before know that we have a leadership program and a development program. We do a ton of studying and a ton of preaching back and forth with what's right. So this was actually the opportunity to say, this is why we do what we do, and to kind of formulate that stability that it's created in real terms, right? It's all theoretic. And I say again, my military background is beneficial because there's a lot of peacetime preparation that doesn't necessarily make sense. But when the balloon goes up and shots are fired, everything kind of makes sense. So now this was a really great opportunity for us to fight through a difficult time and to make it work. So I think this is exactly what we needed.
I'm so glad you said that, because I think it continues to go back to Give me the crisis. We will be fine. Don't worry about anything. I've prepared and studied for this over and over in my mind, and if not with my people, and even legitimately through reading and going to school and teaching and learning and practicing the craft of leadership. And great, great point. And thank you, Marianne, for that. Hey, guys, is there anything final that you'd love to contribute that COVID has made an impact on your business and it may just be here to stay?
There's nothing else to add. It's just a day-by-day battle. You know, life is suffering. There's nothing wrong with suffering a little bit, and just to kind of make the blood pump and move forward. It gives you something to really kind of grind into.
It'll make us all tougher, that's for sure. And that's the message that I told my people is hey, just another thing to make us tougher. And so the next thing that comes along, we'll be ready for it again.
Exactly.
And you know, guys, I've said this on the podcast before, and I've put it up in air quotes, the word essential. Because we have been classified as an essential business, I think the word essential even means more to us as an industry, to us as leaders, to us as the people who work in it, when we realize that nothing will move if we weren't there to help it make it, continue it moving. And if you think about the industry that you're working in, okay, healthcare is essential, meat packing is essential, I get all that, but automotive? Essential? OMG. How important, how big. You want to recruit people to our industry? You can look back to say, we were essential. We're important.
It did add value to our staff, knowing that we were one of the few.
Wow. Jim Hayes, General Manager, Pacific Motor Parts. Two stores, Monterey and where, Pacifica?
Pacific Grove. It's a neighboring town.
Dave Martin, Martin's Auto Repair in sunny Phoenix, Arizona. That did not have a second wave. Lucky you.
We'll keep our fingers crossed. Hopefully we won't.
Our favorite food up here in Buffalo, there's a couple of things, right? Wings. Of course, we're originated here in the 60s. And the other great food that we have is called roast beef on Kemmelwick roll, called beef on weck, if you've not ever heard of it. And you put horseradish on it, and it's just it's a fabulous sandwich. And so I haven't had one of those at a restaurant since March. And I am ready. I am ready. So I get it. Thank you so much for sharing the changes that are going on with you guys and your business and your life. Guys, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Carm.
Thank you, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.